Episode 28 is all about Christmas tree syndrome. Is this real or is it fake? Or can you be made sick by your Christmas decorations? Find out today. Hello and welcome to this week's live stream, and we are talking today for our Christmas edition about something called Christmas tree syndrome. You might have heard about it, you might have some questions, and you might be highly skeptical. I want to talk to you today about what the research literature has to say and whether or not there is a connection with mold. Because as you know, every week on these live streams, we bring you topical things to do about indoor air quality, water damage, and mold. And as we enter into the Christmas season, well, the type of Christmas tree that you decorate your home with could have an impact on your health and well-being. Now, if we look at the history of Christmas trees in the literature, it goes back really to the 4th century CE. And originally, these were used as a pagan tradition. And it was really due to the fact that wintertime in the Northern Hemisphere is particularly cold. And using Christmas trees to decorate homes is a way of reminding people about the bountiful spring and the biological opportunities which are presented by springtime, especially for farming. So this issue of the winter solstice and how one decorates the home has been used for many, many years. We move to more traditional looking Christmas trees of pine and spruce used in Europe really from about the 16th century on. And again, the reason is to emphasize spring, and there is a connection, of course, with Christianity as well. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this topic of, is Christmas tree syndrome real? And to do this, I'm going to be focusing on the first paper I'm going to be talking about is an abstract which I was able to get on PubMed for some Danish research. I might just bring that up now on the screen here. This came out in 2013, and it really presents two case studies from the medical literature. The first is a 51-year-old woman who presented over Christmas time to the hospital with something which was defined by the clinicians as contact dermatitis. And this was a hypersensitivity reaction, as is the other example from this case study from a 41-year-old man who had allergic rhinitis. And so when the clinicians examined both these patients, they were able to establish that there were two causes for the Christmas tree syndrome. One is an allergy to something within the tree, and the second is a allergic response to mold. So there is some evidence in the academic literature that there is a problem associated with Christmas trees, and in fact, it is a real syndrome. If we move towards what could be causing the problems with the Christmas tree, we find that this particular class of trees produce a sticky resin or sap-like material. And this is essentially called rosin. And the type of contact dermatitis allergy is due to a substance within the rosin called colophonium. And really, this is a term to describe the distilled resin which can be obtained from firs and spruce and juniper type trees, often used as Christmas tree decorations. And again, as the first publication from Denmark showed, the Colophonium can cause a contact dermatitis reaction, and this affects a lot of people. In the USA, for example, contact dermatitis from common elements in the environment affects 14.5 million people. So that's not to say that Christmas trees impact on 14.5 million people, but it means that their presence in homes can act to cause this contact dermatitis. Now, this colophonium or rosin is found in a lot of different things, from tennis racket handles to asphalt to cement to chewing gum to various additives of rosin which are added to cosmetics and glues, sunscreens and paints. So it is quite a ubiquitous material, and it is included in a lot of products which we use. And so this contact dermatitis problem can occur not just from Christmas trees, but a lot of other products as well. But again, this is the reason for the contact dermatitis related to Christmas trees. Now, if we move on to the particular types of fungi which could be responsible for causing a allergic rhinitis type response, certainly in that first research paper, they were able to determine that Alternaria fungus is one of the more common fungi which are correlated with Christmas tree syndrome. I should point out that Alternaria spores are quite obvious under the microscope. They're also found worldwide, and they certainly become airborne quite easily. This Alternaria fungus produces numerous mycotoxins and is strongly connected with contamination of grain crops like wheat and rice. And in food security, in previous weeks of these live streams, we have discussed the various different fungi which cause food spoilage. But this fungus is also strongly found connected with the bark of these types of trees. Now, Alternaria sensitivity is also connected with severe asthma attacks, and the fact that Alternaria is easy to when swabs are taken of Christmas trees, you can easily get Alternaria fungus out in pure culture. And certainly if we look into the literature of the connection between Alternaria and its induction of severe respiratory illness, we can see that the one study from Chicago showed that deaths caused from asthma were more than two times higher on days when the concentration of Alternaria mold spores in the air were over 1,000 spores per cubic meter of air. And again, that's another reason why spore trap testing in homes where there is a suspicion of mold exposure is very important, because these types of literatures and thresholds exist, and epidemiologically this is important to know. If we move towards back now, before we move on with the mold issues, I want to also review a paper which came out in 2017, again focusing on the rosin or the colophonium, because this is really it's not to be discounted. So anyone who is presenting with a potential Christmas tree syndrome, it could be the mold, but it could well be the colophonium as well. And so if one presents to the physician, they're going to want to look at your asthma or your allergy response to these types of things. And this particular paper has gone into some significant detail about what occurred. And I think it's important to highlight this, because at the end of the day, if you think you've got Christmas tree syndrome, someone actually brought the Christmas tree into the house. So if I look into the paper here, what happened is that a patient was decorating the tree for only 1 hour. She wasn't using gloves, and gradually she got a dermatitis reaction on her hands and forearms, and this rash later spread to her neck and face. Now, she was treated with some mild hydrocortisone cream and some antihistamines, but it got worse and worse. And in fact, she had to go back to the doctor, and essentially patch testing was performed, and they discovered that it was the colophonium, the spruce needles and the branches on the Christmas tree that were leading to this very severe contact dermatitis response. So The reason I highlight this is just to emphasize the fact that even though this live stream is all about mold, it is not always the mold which is the causative problem. It could be the other spores as well and other plant products that are there. Now, I want to now definitely move on to fungus. There are a couple of papers in the literature that are focusing on the relationship or the investigation of Christmas tree syndrome. And so there are two good publications out there and one citizen science set of results. And the first publication came out in the 1970s, in fact, 1970. And this is a lovely paper. I've got all the references to this in the show notes. And essentially what they were looking at, that again, they used petri plates to culture samples of air and also the physical samples of the bark of the Christmas tree in 10 homes in this particular study. And the main fungi that they were able to culture from the tree were Penicillium, Epicocum, Alternaria, and Cladosporium. Now, this is really interesting because the fungi that they found on the tree, when they measured the amount of mold spores in the air, they found that there were nearly twice the number of mold spores after the tree was introduced into the house, and the dominant fungus was Penicillium. Now, pollens were also a source of allergen and easily became airborne. And in the conclusions to this particular publication, they mention this, that pollens may also be connected with the allergy response. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to focus on that in the opening of this particular show.
Like what you're hearing so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. And remember, this podcast is actually part of a live stream that I do every week on Thursdays, so check it out on Facebook or on YouTube. Now, back to the show.
Now, if we move on to the next publication as well, this came out in 2011, and essentially, this is an excellent study. They also used petri plates, but they used molecular techniques and DNA sequencing. And what they did, which was different to the earlier publication, is that they also talk about a conference paper, which obviously one of the academics was privy to. And they state in here, and I've repeated this comment here because I think it's really important because it puts some numbers in here. But they stated that after the Christmas tree was introduced into the apartment, the number of airborne mold spores increased from a background of 800 spores per cubic meter of air to 5,000 spores per cubic meter of air after a live conifer Christmas tree was introduced for 14 days. Now, this new experiment asked 28 staff to provide samples of their Christmas trees, and they were taken back to the clinical microbiology laboratory, and the samples were plated out to the petri plates and also put through a DNA sequencer and to work out their molecular characteristics and identify them in that way. And they found that there was a good connection between the phenotypic identification of the molds using traditional identification taxonomic methods and the molecular techniques. And they found that the dominant molds on these Christmas trees were Aspergillus, Penicillium, Cladosporia, and Alternaria when they were grown on the petri plates. And when they did this via molecular sequencing, DNA sequencing, they found Aspergillus, Penicillium, Cladosporium, Sidoia. Now, this is interesting because here we're seeing some other ones which are not found in culture. They also found Nigrospora, Trichoderma, and Stachybotrys. And this is interesting research in its own right because it shows that some fungi don't show up in petri plate culture but do under molecular sequencing identification. However, the take-home message was that introducing a Christmas tree definitely does amplify the levels of moles present not only on the tree but in the airspace, and that this is just a fact of bringing a live biological tree into the home. Now, let's now look at some more recent material, because this is not published, but this next study was done really as part of a science experiment. It is a type of citizen science research, and it's actually really good. So again, I've got a link to this research in the show notes. And what they did in this experiment is that they did a double-blind study. They tested 90 different homes. Again, Petri plates were used to test the home before any decorations went in. That is in November, to collect background levels. And then they had, after the decorations went in, they retested the homes. But the important thing is that they tested properties where there was a live tree, where there was an artificial tree, or where there was no tree at all. And what they discovered is that they also applied a questionnaire to the occupants of the house, and they wanted to find out about background respiratory issues and symptoms and problems, and whether or not these were exacerbated or got worse or got better after the live tree went in, the artificial tree, or no tree at all. And if we move forward to some of their results, you can see in the graph here on the left-hand side in the blue bar graph, that is the concentration of mold spores, the number of mold colonies that appeared on these Petri plates before the decorations went in. And you can see that approximately about 12 colonies formed on the Petri plates under just normal conditions in November. Now, when the live tree was introduced, you can see that that's in the red on the bar graph. You can see that there is a much higher number of mold colonies being formed when the live tree went in. But interestingly, when an artificial tree was also put into the homes, there was an amplification of mold as well. And in a sense, that emphasizes the fact that a lot of these objects attract biological particles from the air. When they're stored, they can possibly also get settled spores on them, which then become airborne when the tree is put up and decorated. And the lowest level of mold spores in the house were detected when there was no tree at all. And that's really an interesting result. If we look at some more data which was revealed by their study, when they asked people what their respiratory history was, again, you can see that people with respiratory illnesses report a much worse or a worsening of their symptoms when the live tree went in. And then similarly, even when the artificial tree went in, there was some amplification of adverse health symptoms with that, and people who had no Christmas tree really had no change in their respiratory distress or illness during Christmas time period. So what are some of the conclusions here? Well, we know for a fact that real Christmas trees take approximately a decade to mature, and at this time of year, certainly here in Melbourne, Australia, it's been hard to find Christmas trees. We would have put a Christmas tree in our office, in a sense, to decorate it over the last couple of weeks, but there aren't any downstairs at the supermarket, and they haven't been on the side of the road either. And when we look at some of the reasons why that might be, it became obvious that the Christmas trees, as I said, take approximately a decade to mature before they're ready to be sold. And this coincides with the GFC approximately 10 years ago in 2008-09, when a lot of people who were in the business of growing Christmas trees commercially went out of business. And also there have been a whole lot of insect attacks as well, which have decimated the a population of trees suitable for Christmas tree use. And that is really an interesting problem in its own right. And also this issue of the insects is related to climate change as well. And when we look at the connection between a real tree versus an artificial tree, obviously a real tree can, if it has to go to landfill, it will biodegrade because it is a suitable material, nutritional material, and it will go into landfill quite well. An artificial tree has a much higher carbon footprint, and essentially this is going to isn't going to biodegrade at all, and not much of a artificial tree can be recycled. And also artificial trees have a lot of plasticizers in them, and so artificial trees can also create different types of indoor contamination as well. So in terms of a take-home conclusion, Christmas tree allergy is definitely a real phenomena. Yes, it is true. It is not fake news. And it could be caused by the contact dermatitis to the rosin, or it could be caused by any of a number of dominant molds which are brought in on the Christmas tree and then are liberated within the home as they grow on the tree. And essentially, why and how this occurs is bringing a tree indoors creates something called a false spring. And essentially, this is where you get the liberation of the mold spores into the air and presumably other pollen spores as well. The mold spores germinate indoors, and they can, of course, aggravate pre-existing respiratory conditions. And it does mean then that there is a proven connection between live Christmas trees increase in the risk of wheeze, persistent cough, and allergic sensitization. Obviously, an artificial tree is a better alternative if you suffer from any of these respiratory health problems. However, mold from storage of your artificial tree could also aggravate symptoms. And the conclusion to this is that Christmas and the New Year period and the reason why people decorate their home is really to emphasize the fact that this time of year is traditionally about new beginnings and positive resolutions aimed at making change in the new year for the better. And so your choice of home decoration is really up to you. But it's something to bear in mind that these Christmas tree syndrome is definitely real. In any case, my name's Dr. Cameron Jones. You have been watching certainly for the last 28 weeks that we've been doing these live streams to me talk about the relationship to the built environment, to mold, water damage, and I've hopefully focused on a lot of useful information. We will be back in January, on the 16th of January. We'll have some pre-recorded shows coming up over the next 2 weeks. Thank you for joining me each week and sending in your questions to the various different places where we post these live streams. Next year, we've got a lot of really interesting developments happening on the show each week. We're going to have some regular segments, an increasing focus on bringing experts in. We're going to be taking a lot more questions because they're building up on our various different social media channels. And I want the whole live streams to be a lot more interactive as well. In any case, that's it for me. Derek has been helping me diligently all year to bring you and produce these shows. So thank you from both of us for tuning in each week and watching this. And I hope you have a great Christmas period with your friends and family. And just remember to watch out for any unexplained water or moisture in your home this year, and take action and don't ignore it. In any case, thanks for watching and bye for now. Merry Christmas all.
Thanks for joining me this week on The Mold Show. Make sure to visit our website at themoldshow.com, where you can subscribe on iTunes so you'll never miss an episode. You can also follow up on specific content or any of the references that were discussed, which I always put up on the show notes. If you found value in this podcast, I'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or tell a friend, or share this episode out to your network and family. As always, you can reach me on socials at Dr. Cameron Jones, and I'm always happy to answer your questions. Have a great week, and bye for now.